Did you know that Nicolas Cage once bought a pet octopus because he sincerely thought it might help him with his acting? We've got crazy facts and more coming up.
We got lots of info. Let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Ryan O.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Ryan O. I'm Ryan O. This is my show and I know exactly what you're thinking. Nicolas Cage would have made an interesting Clark Kent. In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun, and you might even learn something. So without further ado, let's do this. In this show, we talk about all sorts of crazy stuff and randomness and pop culture references, but we don't do it alone. So today we'll be graced with a special guest. Our special guest this week is an actor, a singer, a vocal music director at a theater company in Washington, and works for a school district up there as well. He loves Superman, How I Met Your Mother, and improvisation. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Lowry. Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I am doing most excellent. How are things up in Washington?
Well, everyone here is complaining that it's 85 degrees and it's hot. And I'm all like, no, because you don't know hot until you live in Orlando for 5 years, and that's hot. Yeah. 80, they're all like melting because they don't believe in central air conditioning in Washington for some odd reason.
What do you mean? Like, not most houses have actual central air? They have to use like, right. What, a radiator?
Or portable air conditioning units.
Yikes.
Yeah. So it's just... I mean, luckily where we live, we have central air, so we're lucky enough with that. But I mean, a lot of people don't, and it's kind of weird. It's weird for me because you grow up in a place that you have central air.
Like Florida.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I've lived in most of my life, if not, yeah, for the most part. I've, you know, lived in Florida most of my life. So it's like, I'm used to having central air, and then going into places, especially stores, where they don't have air conditioning, it's uncomfortable.
How do they keep their cheese from melting?
Refrigerators.
Okay. Let me rephrase that. How do they keep, like, you from melting?
Are you calling me cheesy?
Sometimes.
don't know.
That's fair. Well, hopefully you don't melt during our conversation here on Did You Know with Ryan O.
I don't think I will, because melting is not a good situation.
We wouldn't want that. That would be absolutely terrible. But speaking of things that are not terrible, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the episode. Are you ready to open up the mailbox of doom?
Yes.
So Ryan O in the mailbox of doom, it's kind of like Indiana Jones, except for... I don't hate snakes. I really don't hate snakes. It's kind of where we go into our mailboxes and attempt to discover answers to all sorts of weird and intriguing questions that may exist. So let's see. We've got email at didyouknowryano@gmail.com, Twitter at didyouknowryano, and the Facebook group, which is a Did You Know with Ryan O. So let's see what's going on in the realm. We actually have a question. That
oh,
was
wow.
given to us. I know, right? It's by lovely Rita. The question is, do we pick our topics and then find a guest, or do we just find a guest and then pick a topic? Very good question. Basically, what happens is I go into the realm of my friends, figure out what they know, and then figure out what they want to talk about. So it's going to be open-ended at the very end for you to give us something to talk about. Do you think you got something awesome for us today?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Besides that, on Twitter and Facebook, we asked a question, what is everyone watching, binge-watching nowadays? I got, like, The Storage Wars and iZombie and Arrow. Chris, what are you watching nowadays?
Flash.
Flash, what season are you on?
Well, I just, you know, I'm current with it.
Right on.
But I always go back and I'll rewatch. I'm currently binge-watching from season one, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow as well. So.
I am caught up to whatever is on Netflix of Supergirl, but I've also got to catch up on Legends of Tomorrow. I think some days I like Legends of Tomorrow more than Supergirl. Other days, yep. I don't.
I'm right there with you.
And then Arrow is kind of the bottom of my list.
Me too. Like, there's a point where Arrow just got really too dark for me. And I was like, nah, I'm good.
And then you get the rest of it, which is somewhat friendly with like, all the Mr. Terrific stuff. But besides that, I'm okay with only seeing the crossover episodes.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So that closes up the Mailbox of Doom, which leads us into our next segment, the Word of the Week, which is ironic because we record every other week. Anyways, that's where we tell our guests the word and try to have them guess what it means and where or how it originated. Do you have your thinking cap on? Are you ready for our word?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
This week's word is cacophony. What do you think cacophony means?
Oh, it has something to do with sounds.
That is correct. Cacophony is a combination of two Greek words, kakos, meaning bad, and phone, which means sound. So it's a unpleasant mixture of sound or harsh noises.
I like to say middle schoolers.
That's kind of fair. I was a middle schooler once. I also created a lot of harsh noises. Especially when you're trying to first learn how to play the saxophone, it's horrendous.
Oh. Yeah.
Not as bad as an oboe.
No. Oboes squeak more.
That's fair. So does a pubescent boy in high school or middle school. So where do you think a cacophony, or when do you think cacophony was first used, that mixture together?
I want to say when someone was trying to get to Carnegie Hall and they didn't practice enough.
That's a good one. If they were in France in the 16th century, and that's where they moved Carnegie Hall to, I would say you are 100% correct.
Yes, I knew it.
Nice work. So that moves us into I Can't Believe That's a Law, where we go into and discover the craziest laws that exist, but probably shouldn't. So I'm going to give you a law, and you're going to tell me how ridiculous you think this law is. All right?
Okay.
So... first off, I'm also going to tell you the law, and you tell me what state you think it's from. Even better. So here's the law. In order to feed garbage to a pig, you'll need a permit from the Department of Agriculture. What state do you think that's a law in?
Well, it's not wacky enough to be Florida. I'm going to go with Tennessee.
It is Arizona.
What?
Yeah, and you can do so for $5 via Title 3, Chapter 15, Article blah, 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 in their agreement in their city courts.
Good to know.
And that's, I can't believe that's a law, because I really can't believe that's a law.
Me either.
What would you feed your pig if you had a pig?
Apples.
Apples, like green, delicious, red, what are we talking about?
Probably red.
Would you eat the green ones instead, or would you want it to eat what you were eating?
Oh, no, I prefer green over red, so I would eat the green.
That's fair. You kind of give it your quote-unquote garbage because you just don't want the reds.
I mean, essentially.
Right on. So we're going to move on to our next segment called Fact or Fiction, where we ask our guest questions about a particular character in fiction, and they answer questions based on the material's history. For example, if I asked you if Batman was Spider-Man's uncle, you'd say, no, that's false. Yep.
That's two different, that's Marvel and DC. You can't mix those two.
Bingo, exactly. So since you seem to be an expert on Superman, we're also going to amalgamate or kind of change up this as well. So I'm going to ask you true or false, or have you just fill in the blank. Do you think you can do this, my friend?
I'll try my best.
Alrighty. So Superman, his name is Clark Kent. What is his middle name?
Jonathan.
It is Joseph.
What?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. In some iterations, they like to hint that it's Jonathan, but
yeah,
it is indeed Joseph. So, true or false, Superman was once bitten by Dracula.
truth.
That is correct. Since he gets his powers from the sun, Dracula exploded once he bit Superman.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of awesome.
That is very awesome.
Do you think there's an alternate universe where Kal-El landed in and was raised in the Soviet Union?
Yes, that is Red Sun.
That is also 100% correct. It's one of my favorite comic books.
It is. You've told me that before. We've had conversations about this.
It's a great one. If any of you are out there and you want to get into comics and you want something weird, I recommend that one.
It's cool because his suit is like a gray and the symbol is red, and it's completely different.
And it even features Lex Luthor and Hal Jordan, but not in the way we're used to the Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. So here's an interesting question. About the mid-2000s, the superhero movies were kind of going through a weird phase. They created Superman Returns and Batman Begins. Which one of those two movies do you think made more money globally?
I want to say Batman Begins. I have a few issues with Superman Returns. That's why I want to say Batman Begins. But
it's actually Superman Returns.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, that's the only reason why I wanted to say. Just because my issue is you've got Brandon Routh, who's not the best Superman, but he did a great job playing Christopher Reeve playing Superman.
I totally agree. Batman Begins is 100% a better movie.
Mm-hmm.
But sales are sales.
That's true. That is very true.
So going into the movie universe, Ben Affleck has played Batman and Superman. True or false?
False?
It's technically true on a technicality.
Yeah.
Because he was in a movie called Hollywoodland where he was George Reeves, the Superman from like the 1950s and 60s.
That's right. That's right.
I don't think Rachel counts it, but I still do.
I mean, I go with your wife.
Okay, then I don't count it at all. In the 80s, there was a comic book crossover called Crisis on Infinite Earths. Which Superman-related character was killed?
Jimmy Olsen.
Close. Try again.
That's close to Jimmy Olsen. Is it? Oh, crud! My mind just hit a blank. Was it Lois? No.
And by close, I mean not close at all. It was Supergirl.
Huh?
Yep, it was Supergirl.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry, I had to. That was just too funny.
You did. Man, Ryan.
All right. And then Action Comics number 1, which is the first issue of Superman. Is he holding up in this issue a building, a bus, a car, or a person?
It's either a bus or a car. I know it's a mode of transportation.
Go ahead. 50-50.
I want to say car.
You are correct. He is holding up a car.
Good. Awesome.
Nice work. You really do know your information on the Man of Steel.
I like to say that I do, so thank you. It's been confirmed.
Yes, indeed. And you've heard it here, folks. Chris knows his stuff about Superman. So moving on from that segment, we have another segment called Only in Florida, where we talk about stories and things that are so ridiculous, so crazy, that they can only happen in the swampland known as Florida. This week's headline was Woman Dressed as Turkey Arrested for Shoplifting.
Sounds about right.
Woman dressed as turkey arrested for shoplifting. How old do you think this lady was?
Oh, 85.
She was 67. And you said about Piggly Wiggly was the shop you were kind of assuming she went into?
Yeah.
It was actually into a Belk's.
Oh, okay.
She was stuffing her turkey costume with purses, jewelry, and a waffle maker.
the irony that she's stuffing a turkey. So, if you were to hypothetically shoplift a store, what's the craziest costume you could think of wearing?
I want to go with a pumpkin.
You would be a pumpkin. Now, would it be carved like a jack-o'-lantern?
Yes.
Now, would the holes be placed in inappropriate sections or very appropriate sections?
Very appropriate sections.
You wouldn't want to show off the goods?
No, I mean, my mom could listen to this podcast at some point, so I'm going to go with very appropriate.
Yes, that sounds like a great idea. Wink and or wink. So we go now into our Did You Know Fact of the Week. And this is where we learn something completely random and crazy. So I'm going to ask you, why is a gun used to start a race instead of a flash of light?
Because most races are during the day.
I like it, but let's go a little bit more scientific.
Sound is easier to hear than the light would be to see.
That is extremely close. It's because you react faster to a bang than a flash.
Oh, yeah. If I hear a bang, I'm going to run. I'll tell you that right now. If I hear a gunshot near me, I'm running.
Because that tells your body, like, after years and years of evolution, like, the loud sounds scares us more than a giant flash of light. Because our body's immediately saying, danger, Will Robinson, danger!
Exactly.
So, what would you be more reactionary to? The sound of a siren or a flashing red light?
Oh, sound of a... Ooh. Yep. See, if it's a flashing red light and blue light behind me, I would react to that before. No, yeah, I would see that before I heard it. So
what we're going to do is we're going to have everyone answer in the poll on Twitter at Did You Know Ryan O. Go ahead and voice your opinion, and we'll talk about the answer in next week's episode.
Did You Know with Ryan O.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/EverydayCosplayFinds for more information. And now back to our show.
Did You Know with Rhino?
Now we switch things over to have a detailed conversation about a subject that our guest chooses. So what'd you bring to us today, Chris?
Titanic.
Ooh.
Not the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. The actual ship that sank in 1912.
So you know a lot of information about the Titanic?
I did. I actually worked at a Titanic museum in Orlando for about 2.5, 3.5 years by the time left me because I was there for so long, and I did tours, and then I did a dinner show on the weekend there where I played a few different people. I got to be J. Bruce Ismay, who was the chairman and managing director of White Star Line, Thomas Andrews Jr., who was the chief architect and head designer. I got to play even J.P. Morgan.
From Morgan and Morgan?
No. He was definitely not for the people. He didn't like people. But J.P. Morgan, who was the chief financier, who was also JP Morgan / Chase Bank. That all came from there. He was the chief financier of the Titanic itself. And I got to play him, which was fun. But he did not like people or getting his picture taken.
So you said you got to play them. Describe the establishment you were in. Is it a dinner show? Is it a museum? Is it a hybrid? What are we talking about?
It's a hybrid. Actually, on Friday and Saturday nights, it turns into a dinner show. But during the week, it is a museum with, I want to say, about 200-plus artifacts from the actual ship itself.
And so your job would be to be a tour guide some days and a historical figure other days? What exactly went on while you were inside on a daily basis?
Well, when I would give tours, I would portray either a crew member or a passenger from the ship, which was a lot of fun. I played a few different people when they did tours. I did them as Ismay and Andrews. I also played a third class passenger from Ireland named Daniel Buckley, who was from King Williamson, County Cork, Ireland.
So you had to use an Irish accent there.
I did. It was a lot of fun for me to use because I get to speak in that. And it wasn't too exaggerated. Because, you know, when people think of Irish, they go, Lucky Charms, which is not. Because there are different dialects depending on where you are in Ireland. And I had to learn those different dialects, which was fun.
But everyone can agree that the sugar in the Lucky Charms is magically delicious.
It's true. It's true. But yeah, so I would have him. Then there was a first-class passenger named Richard Williams, who was a world-class tennis player, who lost his father. He was on the ship with his father, and his father got crushed by the front funnel when it came crashing down into the water.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, but he was a very famous tennis player. He got severe frostbite from the waist down, and they wanted to amputate his legs, but he refused because he was a tennis player. So he actually walked every day so he could gain that feeling back into his legs and went on to win the World Cup mixed doubles. And he did a whole bunch. He went on for Wimbledon and all sorts of stuff. And so it was really cool to learn about these people, not just like, you know, what you hear or saw in the movies, because I want to tell you, there was no Jack Dawson aboard Titanic. There was no whoever Kate Winslet was. She was not aboard Titanic.
I think her name was Rose.
Yes. See, that's how much I cared about her character.
So you didn't like the movie Titanic.
What I liked about the movie is how well James Cameron portrayed the sinking of the ship. Even though that was the longest part, it was actually the most correct part of the movie itself. How it cracked, how the ship went down, even down to the band playing Near My God to Thee in the water, or nice. As the ship goes. Yeah. So James Cameron did his research when it came to the historical stuff. But basically what he did was he took Romeo and Juliet ship.
That sounds like it'd make millions of dollars.
And it did. And, you know, throw a little fun French drawing in there and you get even more viewers. So,
well, they got to make it PG-13 somehow.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So,
and while you're at it, make it two VHSs.
Yeah, I remember when it first came out on VHS. Yes, kids, for those that are listening, things used to be on a tape and you could only fit a certain amount of space on each tape. So like you had like a, what, 2 hour like maximum on a tape or something, but there was an intermission.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in Gone with the Wind, there was an intermission middle and you had to switch tapes just to finish the movie.
Yes, it's true.
I don't miss that. So since we're talking about characters and their stories, out of all the characters you've played, or have met on the ship, as in other individuals portraying those folks, which mm-hmm. story did you find the most interesting?
I really love the story of J. Bruce Ismay, who was a chairman and managing director. He did not go down with the ship, and a lot of people called him a coward, and unfortunately his life was a lot worse after Titanic because of what he did. There's a lot of stories about, he was dressed up as a woman and hid in the lifeboat, and a lot of stories about him that he was a coward and whatever it may be. He was actually ordered into a lifeboat and was told to go into the lifeboat. He was scared, he panicked, and he went into one of the collapsible lifeboats. And so it was not a regular lifeboat that he went in. It was a collapsible lifeboat. So all the other lifeboats had been dispatched, and which there were only 16. Yes, it was his fault that there were only 16, because he was so sure that the ship was unsinkable because of how well it was made. He had so much faith in the shipbuilders and the designers that he thought that no matter what would happen to the ship, that everything would be fine. And he did not want the lifeboats to take up any room or to, you know, cause, you know, the first class passengers to not have their perfect views. So he thought, well, why do we need so many lifeboats if this ship is so great and so perfect? So he was so sure that he ended up cutting down from 64 lifeboats, which would have been more than enough, down to 16. And he was a very, I want to say he was a very, oh, what's the word I'm looking for?
Passionate.
He was a very passionate man. He was also, he was very good to the people that worked for him. He loved the people that worked for him. He and Andrews, Thomas Andrews, is a chief designer, butted heads a lot. They had some issues, but he at the same time knew these people and knew their families and knew who they were and kind of saw them as people. But he unfortunately drew a lot of the slack from not going down with the ship because everyone thought he should have, which, yes, we can argue, yes, he should have. Some people say, no, he shouldn't have. He did the right thing, but, you know, that was back in 1912, so.
Yeah, hindsight is 20/20, as they say.
It's true.
Have you been to any other Titanic museums? Are there any other Titanic museums?
There are. There are actually, there's another one that's tied to the museum I worked at, which is Premier Exhibitions. They're actually the company that has the rights to the actual artifacts from the ship. So they're tied into all of that. They have one at the Luxor Resort in Las Vegas. Now there are other Titanic museums that say they have artifacts, and a lot of these are stuff from passengers that were donated and other things like that. There's one in Gatlinburg, I believe, in Pigeon Forge, that area. There are a few others around, but I know of the one that is like the one that I worked at, and that's at the Luxor Resort in Las Vegas.
So if you were to create your own museum, would it be another Titanic museum, or would you like to use another sort of topic to create your own museum all about you if you had like $50 million?
Man, I would do like a pop culture museum, something that had to do with like superheroes, and definitely like an 80s type museum, because I believe that the best cartoons, the best superhero, like the best that era, like Voltron, Thundercats, that was to me the time for kids to have TV.
The challenge of the Super Friends.
Yeah,
I miss the Super.
I mean,
Friends.
You have stuff like that. You have, you know, really goofy shows in the 80s. You had Mr. Belvedere. You had all this sort of Alf, that sort of stuff. I would create like an 80s museum.
And then you had He-Man and She-Ra.
Yeah, She-Ra.
That's the one.
Yeah, I got you.
Right on. I think if I had $50 million to create a museum, I would do it very similarly, and it would be about X-Men through the ages.
Nice.
So you would start with the actual comic book and the history around it, where people were afraid of people, and that's the whole like mutant propaganda thing about people fearing each other, had something to do with racial differences. But then you change that into like the 80s when they had their one cartoon episode. Didn't do too well. The 90s cartoon, which was amazing.
Yes.
And then the 2000s movies that kept on going till Logan / Deadpool, if you believe in continuity.
It's true. That's a good one. That's definitely a good one. I would go to that museum, right?
That'd be pretty fun. Like we should have ours in a block next to each other. Like just... We could split it. We'd have half yours of 80s and half mine X-Men.
I'm game.
It'd be a party. So speaking of things that were parties, how did you get like into this whole Titanic shindig? Like what piqued your interest? What made you get into it?
Here's the funny thing. I knew nothing. Like, I didn't know a lot about the ship before I started working there. I actually had two friends who, one was a stage manager and one was a show manager. And they were having auditions coming up for the holiday dinner show that they did. And they really wanted me to come down and to audition. And they kind of got me into that. I was like, oh, Titanic, that's kind of cool. And so I was like, and me as an actor wanting to be paid to act, I was like, oh, this would be great. I'll get I'll do a dinner show, or I'll work at the museum. I'll get paid to do tours and the dinner show, and that's be fun. And they kind of, and then from there, learning about the ship, learning about the people, it just really got me. And I thought it was so cool because there's so much people don't know about this tragedy and how it affects even the cruises that you go on today.
So in doing so, you took the experience and you learned all sorts of amazing, fun things all about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool.
So what facts do you know that maybe isn't well known about the voyage or the sinking?
I know that that was actually the group, the third class group, was actually created by White Star Line. So you have your basic first class, which is like the rich people, the suites that you would have in like your cruise ships nowadays. Second class are like your outside staterooms nowadays. And third class are like your inner staterooms. They used to be called steerage, and they would be thrown down in cargo, and they would be given a bucket that they would share about eight people. That bucket would not only be for your food, but also your toilet. Same bucket.
That doesn't sound too hygienic.
No, not at all. And you better hope that the person that gets the food scraps that night cleaned out the bucket well. So J. Bruce Ismay really saw an opportunity to, I want to say, profit off of the lower class. So we created something that was called third class, where they were given staterooms that they would often share. They were also given three hot meals every day. Three hot, three-course meals every day. So they were fed. They were well taken care of. Unfortunately, many of these people were the ones that died because they were seen as the lower class and often either taken off the lifeboats or not allowed on them at all. But they still had comfortable passage. So it kind of gave another opportunity for passage. And so the third class was formed due to the Titanic.
But at least they didn't have to eat from that bucket.
No. Another cool fact is muster drills, the lifeboat drills that we have today, how we do them at the beginning of every cruise. That's because of the Titanic. And also the whole lifeboat system, where it changed that you had to have lifeboats on the amount of people that the ship could take at capacity, not size of the ship. It used to be, oh yeah, if the ship is this size, you only need to have this amount of lifeboats. But that changed after Titanic, saying you have to have a minimum amount for the maximum amount of people that you can take on the ship. And then lifeboat drills, they were supposed to have one the night of April 14th when the ship hit the iceberg, but the captain canceled it because it was too cold. So that's why we have lifeboat drills at the beginning of cruises now.
Because what happens if things don't happen in the middle but happen right at the very beginning?
Exactly.
So
yeah,
here comes a very, very dark question.
Ooh.
If you were on that boat, and I was on that boat, which superhero do you think we'd ask to save us?
Superman. No. Oh, man. See, I always go to Superman. But see, I would get Batman because he's got like resources beyond resources. And he would just... No, why not Aquaman? Because I know Aquaman, like, see, Aquaman could help.
He'd probably get Aquaman, like 15 different groups of whales and have people just hang on to the whales as they got them to the next space.
Exactly. See, I know you would go with Aquaman. I feel like you would go with Aquaman, not only because I know he's one of your favorites, but I think in that situation, if a ship is going down, you're going to want someone who knows the sea to help you out.
I think having the Green Lantern Corps would also be a great too.
Oh, yeah.
Because a Green Lantern could create a giant platform to house, 2,200 people or something on the boat?
Well, yeah, there was 2,223 people on the ship, and 705 survived.
So then if that were the case, you could put people in the lifeboats and everyone else would go with the Green Lanterns, and they'd all just kind of hang out and...
That's chill true.
And get themselves over to, where were they heading to? America?
Yeah, they were headed to New York. New York City.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on a actual cruise boat, sir?
I have. I've been on a few.
Were any of them heading to New York?
No. One was from London to Norway. When I was a kid, that one was fun. The other one was from Canada to Alaska and back. And then I've done a few Caribbean cruises.
And which one of those would you say was your favorite?
Oh, man. I would have to say my honeymoon cruise with my wife to the Caribbean.
Good answer.
Thank you. Yep. I may not say the best thing sometimes, but I know what to say when it's important.
Exactly. Well, given the choice between talking up your wife and anything else, always talk up your wife. Isn't that right, honey? She is now nodding at me.
I figured she would appreciate that.
So if you could choose a new character if you could choose someone else to portray, just someone you've never done before, but you've seen everyone else do, who would you want?
Oh, man. I think it'd be fun to be Captain Smith. Captain Smith was an awesome person. The Titanic was actually his retirement cruise. Well, it was supposed to be his last cruise. I guess it definitely was his retirement cruise and his last cruise. But he was a really great man who truly loved his crew members and the people around him. He loved being around the passengers and talking to them and being with the people. And so he was a really cool guy. I unfortunately didn't get to play him. I was too young. So
they wanted someone who actually had gray hair?
I mean, essentially, there were a few people that had to gray their hair more. Or, you know, we slap on facial hair and other things like that. But most of our captains were, I would say, 50s and above. So
they're the ones with all those fabulous wrinkles and smiles and the crazy hats, too.
Exactly.
So while walking around and seeing all of the cool artifacts and whatnot around the museum, which one were you most interested in, like based on its story or just its coolness factor?
So at the museum, we have the second largest piece of Titanic ever discovered. It's called Little Big Piece. And it is about, a couple tons. The number escapes me now because I'm thinking about it. But it was a very large piece, but it was, you know, still called Little Big Piece. Because the bigger piece is actually at the Luxor Resort in Las Vegas. But it's so cool to see, to have a piece of the ship itself right in front of you and to see the rivets. And also to see the holes where the rivets were ripped, you know, where the metal was ripped from the rivets. And over the years, how the metal, being under the water, the metal is just like twisted and misshapen.
Because of all the pressure?
Cool to see that. Yeah, the pressure, the salt water, the different things eating at the metal. And then next to Little Big Piece, there's a smaller piece of the hull that we call Touch Piece. It's actually a piece in the case that you can actually touch.
It's not called really Little cool. Little Piece?
No, it's called Touch Piece because you can touch it.
I like it. So there's Little Big Piece and then Touch Piece. I love how fun and simple the names are. It's pretty cool.
But you cannot touch Little Big Piece.
Okay.
Because the oils on your hand will eat away at the metal. But they took a smaller piece of the hull that's probably about 3 feet. I want to say 3 feet. Nah, maybe 2 feet long. 2 to 3 feet. We'll go there. And they put it in a case and just so you can have the opportunity to touch it. So it's a smaller piece of the ship and they coated it with a special material so that you can touch it. But they don't want to coat Little Big Piece with it because it actually changes the integrity of the piece itself. So
sure.
Yeah.
When you were there, were you able to actually eat their food with them, or?
We had the opportunity. Well, we didn't get to eat with them during the dinner show. We got to eat after the dinner show, whatever food was left over. But we did have a few times when we had, like, special events that people would come to. And there was like a luncheon that I got to sit down and eat with the guests. And that was fun.
What sort of food was there?
They actually took the menu from the meal that they had, the last meal on the Titanic in the first class dining room. So it was actually chicken and beef tips. There was like a mushroom sauce and vegetables and potatoes. That was one course. You had a salad course. There was a soup course. There was bread, of course. And then for dessert, there was like a mousse and a white chocolate raspberry mousse and a chocolate cup. And then they had like a champagne toast.
That sounds awesome.
Naturally, on the ship itself, there would have been more courses during dinner. Dinner sometime had, I want to say, 10, 12 courses, depending. So.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It's amazing there was room on some of those boats.
Well, exactly. But they had so much food and so much storage. I know somewhere there are numbers, and I should have written some of these numbers down, and I'm sorry I didn't.
That's fine.
But the amount of eggs and meat, and they actually had live chickens on the boat that they would get their eggs from. So, I mean, they didn't have cows to give milk, but, you know, they had other stuff like that. But they had live chickens on the boat and other things like that.
So if you were captain of a cruise ship, what would you name the cruise ship?
The love. No, wait, that's already taken. oh, man. I would call it Krypton.
Nice. What's really funny is about 6 seconds before you said that, Rachel kind of mouthed like she thought that's what you were going to say. So well, she,
you know,
called
she
it. I always joke that there was a bit in the Rush Hour movies where Chris Tucker said he had his own yacht, and he was like, what's it called? And he was like, the SS Mineral Johnson. So that's always a crazy one. Because if Austin Powers had a boat, it'd be the SS Shagitsu, baby.
That's awesome.
But if I had a boat, I would call it the SS Awesomeness.
Yes, that's a good one.
That would be a good time and a half. What about if you could do a musical based on the Titanic, what would you call said musical?
Well, there is a Titanic musical.
No.
Yes.
I totally made that up. That's a real thing?
It is a real thing. It was actually on Broadway for a while.
That they didn't call it something to do with You Only Float Once, did they?
No, there was no James Bond-inspired naming to it. It was called The Titanic the Musical. There is a soundtrack. Look it up on YouTube.
I am going to have to.
Yeah. So there is a Titanic Musical. So I would call it Titanic the Musical.
Nice. Straight and to the point.
Yeah.
Is there any other cool things you want people to know about the Titanic before we start winding down here?
Just really cool. If any of you guys are Doctor Who fans, there was I think two different Titanic episodes. I know one for sure that I actually watched over at your house one time.
Yeah, it was with Kylie Minogue and David Tennant. And this little red alien called Bene Cephalata.
Yes.
And it was about them creating a boat called the Titanic. And it was in the future and it float and everything. And they're like, well, what's so wrong about the name? It's like, did you not do any research about that name?
Yeah. And then that's a cool thing, a cool tie in there. So if any of you all are Doctor Who fans, look in. The era of David Tennant and find that episode.
I think it's the Christmas special of season 4, if I remember correctly.
I think you are correct. But yeah, so definitely check it out. If you're interested, the Titanic Museum is on International Drive in Orlando. So if I can give them a quick shout out, that's my shout out to them. Go check out them. They're awesome.
Right on. Where can people find you if they want to follow your crazy adventures in Washington?
On Twitter, I'm Actor Chris Lowry. Facebook, I have a Facebook page, Actor Chris Lowry. Pretty much any social media, I'm Actor Chris Lowry. I believe Instagram, I'm either Actor Chris Lowry or Actor Chris L. So one of the two. I'm an actor.
Right on.
Yeah. So I, you know, just, I'm having a great time. I miss my friends and family back home, but
we miss you too.
I love Washington. It's a great place to be. And it's nice because I've had a lot of cool opportunities since we moved here in August and had the opportunity to work at a high school, be their vocal director there and just kind of, and you know, I'm working at a middle school. I'm finishing my degree in music ed. So it's fun. It's cool.
So you're one step away from molding the minds of children.
I know that's kind of a scary thought if you know me, isn't it?
It's scary but awesome at the same time because good for you, Duder.
Yeah. You know, I hate the phrase, if you can't do, teach. I think the people that can do are some of the better teachers.
Because the only way you can teach is with having that experience and that thing for them to hold on to and aspire to.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I'm excited. When I found out you were doing this and you and I talked about it, I knew I wanted to be on. So thank you for having me on.
Well, we'll definitely have to get you on a upcoming episode and we'll talk about something even crazier next time.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
You're welcome.
If you'd like to join in on the conversation or ask us many questions, there's a place to do so. There's actually several. You could email us at didyouknowryano@gmail.com. You could check us out on Twitter at didyouknowryano or go over to the Facebook page, Did You Know with Ryan O. We will try to answer those questions on our next episode. And that's all we have for this episode. Remember, kids, find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I'm Ryan O. I'll see you next time.